I would much prefer my brother. We're workers together with the Lord. We love the Lord this evening. We want to walk with Him. Again, I ask for your prayers. You know, I just give a little bit of the... Some of you knew or remember, none of you is old enough. Her brother Audney Davis up in the Guthrie congregation. Years ago, he's been dead for a number of years. He married my grandmother's sister, and this is one of, so it'd be related also to you. Rick Davis is the one, and they've been good people up in that area for quite a while. But so I'm just to clarify that, that's all I want, or the connection was with the saints even. I want to think tonight about all of us. The Lord brings people to places of decision, places of a choosing time. And those choices run the gamut. There's some of them are very serious, and some of them that don't carry a whole lot of moral impact. Sometimes it changes the trajectory of our life. Those decisions are very important. You know, marriage and how you handle yourself on the job. There's a whole lot of just decisions. And I would hope that all of us have a heart to allow the Lord to mold us and shape us for some of those decisions, that He would give us some of His counsel and lead us in a path of righteousness for His name's sake, but lead us in a path of safety.
Yes.
And we, that's why it says ponder the path. Mm-hmm. Give some time.
Yes.
Give some thought. Give some prayer. We talk about prayer. Prayer shouldn't be the word that we say. We'll be praying about that, and then it just is relegated over here to nothingness. No, when we pray about it, we actually do. We talk to the Lord and give some time, give some space to the Lord to talk back with us. These aren't supposed to be just catchphrases that we learn to go through. It should have meaning and impact on our life. So I think about one of the greatest, well, it is the greatest decision I think that anybody can make is, what are you going to do with your soul? How are you going to deal with that? And, I know I'm maybe a little bit more emotional than most. But this is one of those moments I hope that we can rationally, this is a decision we must make.
That's right.
We must. It's not optional. It's not something that we say, well, I'm going to opt out of that. We must. What am I going to do with this life that God has given me? I look and see that I can't say that animals don't have choices. Seem like they do. But none of them seem to be moral choices. Life, I think God created all this life. When I see the beauty of a plant that the Lord, and the little tiny flowers in the spring, the Lord paints those. That's all beautiful to me, and that's life. It speaks. There's no place across this world that the voice is not heard. There's no culture. There's nowhere that the Lord hasn't put Himself in front of people. It all speaks about God.
That's right.
And it brings to our mind if God, if there is somebody that I marvel at the sky, and who did that? How did this happen? There's a lot of maybe scientific things that I could say that, well, I can maybe answer some of these things in that way. But none of the scientific theories that get thrown out there, quote scientific, theories that get thrown out there, none of them answer, how did life begin? How? Going to do it in a test tube? You'll wait a long time before that happens. There's no answer what I'm really saying. There's no answer except for God. When we are confronted with the knowledge that there is a God, then I have to ask myself, what am I going to do with it?
That's right. Yes.
And when the Lord convinces us, and children, at some point in your life, the Lord wants to make Himself well known to you. I don't know what point that is, but when you're walking through life and the Lord just, you feel that, do all you can to respond, I want you, Lord. I'm thinking about our general idea of how we've got to come into a right place with the Lord. We call it salvation. And it's rightly so. I think it's good. We must be saved. We must bring ourselves to the Lord and allow Him to translate us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of His dear Son, and be no longer walk in that kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness. The Lord wants to translate us over there. And then He wants us to walk in that light.
That's right.
As He is in the light.
Yes.
And it's a pleasure to walk with Him there.
Yes, the Lord.
But I'm thinking tonight about the decision. It's not just an emotional decision, though there is many times emotions that go along with it. I think sometimes as a young, innocent child, maybe you don't have all the emotions that somebody like I had when I came with a very broken life. And I realized how very desperate I was. So I had a lot of emotions. And sometimes you may not. But that doesn't mean the power of the work of God is not the same. I hear stories sometimes of children and young people who have come to the Lord very young. And I just absolutely rejoice. Because I know there's some memories that the devil would have liked to impose upon their life that they escaped. I say, young people, do it as early as what you know how. Please. It's a choice. You know, let me go to a scripture. Matthew, the 3rd chapter. But I want to talk to us about us tonight and decisions that we make and the choosing, the choices that we make. Now, here in the 3rd chapter of Matthew, there came one preaching. John is prominent here. John the Baptist. Notice where he fits in history. There was what we kind of look back as a silent period, that we don't have anything in the scripture here, like 400 years. And there was some writings. There were the Maccabeans. There was other writings that did happen in there. But it seemed like the Lord wasn't having some real, wasn't doing a lot of real inspired communication with his, with people. It seemed like there had been such a hardness grow over people's heart. The law, again, we've mentioned that already in the meeting, the system of the law, they had learned how to do it in such a, just a legalistic way, and it didn't really impact their heart very much. And in that setting, there came one that we would have probably said looked a little bit different. Yeah. And we'd probably, maybe awkward. There have been people that have hypothesized that he may have been part of the group called the Essenes or S. You heard. It was kind of a religious group over there. And I don't know, but I can tell you this much. He was anointed by the Lord. And he obeyed the voice of the Lord. The Lord had his hand on John the Baptist. And he came and his message was, y'all need to go to the altar. Is that what he said? He appealed to their reason. And he said, repent. I suppose if we were there, I imagine he used more words than just that. But I think the people he was speaking to, the impact of the message had to say to their mind that we need to change. We have been living this way in we've been going to synagogue and the temple, but it has been meaningless. I still treat my neighbor bad. And Zacchaeus over here, he's been, and we have all this going on, and this carnality and backbiting, and the sacrifice means nothing. And John says in the middle of that, y'all need to turn around. You know, that's what repentance means. I like to think it really means a radical turnaround, 180 degrees. Go completely the other direction. Folks, I want to tell you, when we come to the Lord and we make the decision to follow the Lord, the Lord's asking us to make a 180 degrees turn. Turn away from the old man in every way you know how today. And when tomorrow he shows you another way, turn again. Continue having a heart that is turned toward God. And as the Lord reveals other places that needs to be refined, lay it on that altar. And allow the Lord to perfect that concerns us. This is a decision tonight we're talking about. And every one of us, some may not be on that road tonight, but I encourage you to make that. The way is open for us to get on. The exit ramp isn't closed tonight, or the entrance ramp is what I should say, into the path of righteousness. It's wide open tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ has made that so. But every one of us have decisions that we're making right in front of us. Tomorrow, tonight. We handle those decisions sometimes almost automatically. But I think the Lord would have us to learn a little bit more of how to lean on Him. And say, Lord, I think I know, but you remember all the children of Israel had a wonderful victory. They went over there and marched around 7 times and shouted, and the walls came tumbling down. And they felt so accomplished. And oh, there's a little spot over here, not much. I think we would have felt somewhat the same way. We'd have been at least tempted to feel that way. But something they left out. And God, help us not to just see their mistake, but help us to realize there's a lesson for us today that really I need to employ the same tactic that they should have employed. I should have, Lord, this seems like such an easy decision, but I want to ask you about it. It seemed like such an easy thing. Oh, the Lord has just really blessed us. We don't even need to send everybody over here. Let's. But something had crept in. Disobedience crept in. Sin crept in. But I don't know. There's different things can creep into us when we're passing, going through. When you have had a great victory with the Lord, be aware that the devil wants to try to sneak around. Be on guard. Be on guard. Don't let. You know, the scripture says that God hates a proud look. He also hates a proud, something that you can't even see, a proud heart, a proud attitude. So in humility, we should say, thank you, Lord, for that wonderful victory, and bask in it and enjoy the victory that the Lord has given us. But then say, Lord, keep on leading me. Have an humble heart. This is dear children. It's a decision we make, folks. One of these things that tonight, you know, we make decisions on whether to serve the Lord. And then we make decisions. Sometimes we almost think, well, I've already made that decision. I'm there on that road. And now I can just, I'm there. But when you think about, there's other moral decisions that you make while you're traveling on that road. There's expressions of our spirit. There's little attitudes that would creep in. There's things that don't, that could creep in, that approach us. And we have to consciously decide, I'm not going to pick that up. I'm not, I don't, or I will pick it up. And if we do pick it up, if it's something that's not right, it'll be, what is talked about, the little weights that so easily beset us that come, and what it does as you pick up this one little hurt feeling or this one little whatever that the devil will begin to weigh. He just, oh, he's selling them so easily. In this vanity fair that we're passing through, in this environment where it's be so easy to grab things that's really not ours. And it's hard. It begins to weigh down our spirit. That's a decision we make. God help us when we find that I'm carrying something I shouldn't carry. Yes. Just come humbly. Say, Lord, I don't even know how to turn loose of some of this. It's a decision we make, folks. I'm talking about walking with the Lord. I'm talking about the road of salvation, okay? Is it okay to call this salvation? Salvation is not a one-time work. Oh, let me clarify that a little bit. Yes, it is a moment that you become, but it's not done working that first moment. He ends up helping us with all these little decisions. And somehow in our humanity, many times as we're walking, I can feel like, well, I'm doing fine. I've crossed the I and I've dotted the T. I went to the altar twice, and now I'm just walking in clear streams. No, you're not. The devil is still a tempter. And he has learned how to mask all his trinkets and make it seem very appealing and reasonable for me to pick it up. I'm not going to go through all. But you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's just easy to make an excuse. Well, Lord, I have right to feel that way. I do. Be careful.
Yes.
Because that's a weight. The Lord may let you carry it for a while, but He'll be working with you. Try to, because He doesn't like us to get hurt. He doesn't want His children to carry a weight that would stumble them. And at some point, he's gonna reveal that in a very loving way, and may really confront us with that. And sometimes, if we simply turn a deaf ear to his wooing, sometimes the voice might get a little louder. And there might be things happen that will cause us to... And why does he do that? Because he cares for us. It's not his will. And we like to say and apply that to people that are out there on the wrong path. We say it's not his will that any should perish. And it applies to that. But it also applies to us as we walk with the Lord. It's not his will that we get weighted down with things that would attach to our spirit. I'm hoping that we could see the practical way that the Lord walks with us. Living for the Lord is a very practical. It's what we do. It's not a distant moment in my life. It's today. I'm walking today with the Lord. And expect him to work on us and change us, folks. Expect that. We're his dear children, and whom the Lord loves, he works on. He corrects. Because we're his children. Over here in Matthew, the third chapter, in the beginning here, I'll just read. In those days, John the Baptist preaching, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I think I'm going to stop there for right now. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Tonight I want to tell you there is a place, there is a kingship, there is a place for our soul to rest under the authority of the Lord. There's a place that we can come into and take away, again, translated from the kingdom, this wrong, the bad kingdom of this world, translated from that into the kingdom of his dear Son, where our souls feel the authority of the Lord and the nurturing of the Lord. And John came preaching that. It's at hand. It's almost there. I don't want to just repeat what we may have said some the other day. You remember the woman at the well? You remember what Jesus told her? The time is now. It's now. And she said, "I've heard that Messiah is supposed to come, and I know you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, and there's something just bubbling, something working in my spirit right now. I've heard that he's going to come." And Jesus looked at her and so plainly said, "The one is talking with you. I'm that Messiah." What must have washed over her soul at that moment? The realization that I am talking to the Messiah, to my Savior. All this that I've carried up to this moment, the guilt and folks, if you're carrying guilt today, God's got the antidote for that. It's a decision to walk over to him and say, "Here it is. I'm tired of carrying it. I want to be different. Don't like to go back and live that old life anymore. I'm tired of it." He has great pleasure taking people like that. He has great pleasure taking people that brings that to him. So the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I like thinking it's within reach. Over in the fourth chapter, we have another, maybe four, and I believe I'm just going to go ahead and read the 17th. From that time, Jesus began to preach. Now, John was preaching before. Now, Jesus is coming with his amen to that message. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And these people who were... Part of them was saying, "We don't need this. We're Abraham's seed. Abraham is our father. Well, I'm a I'm a special people. But in their hearts, many of them began to hear what was being preached, what John was being preached. And they believed it so much that they went and publicly testified, I believe what Brother John's saying here. And they went down in a public baptism in front of everybody. And they said, it's true that we need to repent. The things that we've been doing, we need to turn around. This hasn't been doing right. I've been treating my neighbor wrong. I've been having bad attitudes. I've been stealing. For one thing, I haven't been offering God on my whole heart. I've grown cold in my spirit. And John said, turn around. Change. Don't keep doing that. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means we're going to stand. We're standing here in the presence of God. And folks, we all are, whether we see it or not tonight, we're standing in the presence of God. God sees our heart. And the amazing thing is that he sees our heart and still says, come to me. Oh, when I came to the Lord, back with all that brokenness and the terrible stuff that was back there. You know, if somebody would have told me that, you better change or else you're going to hell, I think my answer would have been, well, I guess I am. I had that kind of a hardness that just didn't seem to. But I couldn't handle it when somebody, a heavenly, my Lord, said, you're exactly right. That's as ugly as it can be. But I'm still asking you to come and be mine. I didn't have a defense against a love that was that great. And that same heavenly Father sees where you are and where I am tonight. He knows what you're struggling with. And he knows perhaps the weights in your pocket. And he knows the decisions that you're making or maybe even wrestling with right now. Let the Lord get a hold of your hand tonight and lead you. Because sometimes these decisions are so momentous. And if you're wondering about giving your heart to the Lord, that's the best. There's not a better time. Now is always the right time. And there's not a better decision to make than to say, Lord, whatever is here is yours. You have proven yourself to be absolutely loving and trustworthy. I believe you, Lord. And I want to follow you. I would like to point us quickly to an incident in Acts. I don't even remember what chapter. I'm thinking maybe 8th, but I'm not sure. You remember there was an evangelist back then. He was called Philip. I don't think that's the same one that we call Philip the Apostle. I think this is Philip the Evangelist. I think they're different. Study it. I might be wrong. I would always encourage you to study the Bible. But Philip had been over, he'd went to the Samaritans and they had received. It was wonderful. Then the Lord said, after that experience, the Lord said, I want you to go down. Oh, this says to me something about the heart of the Lord, the ear, the attentiveness of our Lord. There was a man who was an Ethiopian. He wasn't a Jew. Oh, the Jews had special inside track, didn't they? But this man wasn't even a Jew. Of course, at this point, the gospel was for all. And this Ethiopian had been to Jerusalem, and something must have intrigued him. I don't know what all made him go all this distance to come to Jerusalem. But while he was there, he was so seeking, of a seeking heart, that he bought a scroll. Likely it may have been a Greek writing, Septuagint type writing, Koine Greek. I don't know. But he was going back with his scroll. And he was reading it as he went. And the Lord said to Philip, and I say, Lord, help us to have the ears that Philip had to be moved at the impulse of our Lord, to hear his voice and act. And Philip, the Lord said, go down there, told him the road to go to, and come there. Didn't tell him what he was going to experience, but so he went down there, and I don't know where they lorded around. I don't know. But he went down there and it was in this area. Look, and here came this chariot. And the Lord said, that's it right there. And the man was reading Isaiah 53. The man was in a place of decision. The man had a hungry heart, like Cornelius must have had a hungry heart, seeking the Lord. And the Lord hears that hungry heart, folks. He just really does. And this man was reading in Isaiah. Some words that were strange to him. Who hath believed our report? Who hath, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I don't know what must have been going through this man's mind when he was reading this. What is this? Is it? And here comes Philip. I said, you understand what you're reading? Now Philip did. Philip, the Lord had revealed to him. It had begun to make sense to him. I don't know if it had always made sense to him, but now since he had walked with the Lord and had seen, oh, it began to clear up. And the revelation of the Lord just excited his spirit. And I think when he was walking along there and heard this man reading that, he likely was reading out loud. And Philip said, oh, I've got to tell him about this one. Do you understand that, brother? Brother, do you know what you're reading? And the man just plainly said, I don't. How can I accept? Was that an accident? We know it wasn't an accident. It was ordered by God. And the man was listening, and it said that Philip started right there, and he preached Jesus. He preached the Messiah to him. This Ethiopian, the one who had, I don't know how much he even understood about a Messiah, except that when Philip began to preach to him, oh, it rang true in his heart. Something about truth. I don't care where you come from, your background or your heritage or your the place in the world you've come from. When truth begins to be confronted to our spirit, it just feels good. There's something witnesses down inside. And this Ethiopian, I wonder what language that Brother Philip spoke to him in. Did the Ethiopian know how to speak Hebrew? I don't know. It didn't really need to. You know why? Because on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was given and they could speak. And the Lord could interpret. I don't know whether that was the case here or not. But it was so real that the man said, this is right. And for some reason, he believed it was good to make public testimony. He said, I believe what I'm hearing you say just, it's just making this little man inside of me. I believe it. And he said, look here, here's water. Is there any reason? Oh, Brother Philip said, if you believe, oh yes, I do. And he went right down there and was baptized. I'm not going to ever talk about this place of prayer called the altar. But I want us to note, I don't see in the scripture that saying that this Ethiopian bowed at Monarch or our altar. I'm not against this, folks. But sometimes we put God in a box. God's able to reach into everybody's heart. Yes, if we come to Him with all we know how to give. I'm not certain this man shed a tear when he was hearing that. We think we have to come and weep. And I did. And it was a precious. I don't have anything against this convenient place of coming to the Lord. I support it. But I just want to tell you, this Ethiopian believed in his heart. And the Lord came and answered the hunger of his soul. And he said, can I be baptized? That was quite probably the quickest baptism in history that I know of. I know the people, the jailer and his family all got baptized pretty quickly too. But this was quite a... And the man went on his way with a... Oh, this meant something to him now. I want to take you to another incident. We don't know the man's name in the scripture because we only refer to him as Legion. You remember what the Lord did? The Lord met him in his need, was master of the problem, was more than master of the problem. The man came to a rightness in his thinking, in his whole spirit, his whole demeanor. Things changed drastically. 180 degrees turned around. And then, I think it's the sixth chapter of Mark, I believe. I think it's down there toward the end. I believe it's the sixth chapter, down there toward the end of the chapter. The account goes on. We find the man first. The man at first said, can I go with you? I really want to go. What you just did for me has knit my heart to you. I don't. And perhaps in our human thinking we can say, he needs a little protection. You should have let him come. He needs some discipling. He needs some mentoring. He needs some... And I'm all for that. I'm not... Our human thinking. But this was special. The Lord really did a work in him. And he said, please, can I go? I'm adding some dramatic to this. But I could see him say, let me go. I don't want to go back to that other place. And Jesus may have said, you don't have to go back to that. You can go back to the area you lived in, but you don't have to go back to that. I've delivered you. He said, when you go back, though, tell them. Tell them what I've done. Tell them. And then over in the latter part of I believe it's the seventh. Did you get it there, the seventh of... Oh, fifth chapter. No, I'm talking, I think it's the sixth chapter at the end where it talks about when they went back over there. I think it's down, I believe, at the latter part of that chapter. I think. But anyway, I share it. You want to read it for me? Well, it's okay. I'm putting you on the spot. Maybe I'll just tell the story. They went back over there and got off the ship, and the people recognized who he was. Wonder why. They had said, please get out of here before. Oh, this is too much for us. The hogs are gone, and what a change. And I don't know how to even process this. I'm afraid with all that power, what are you going to do around here? Next time they showed up, the people, they had heard this man's testimony. What great things the Lord had done for him. And next time, this time when they came back, they said, "He's back." And it spread like wildfire through the community. And they went picking up people who were sick.
It says they ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was.
Oh, what was their expectation of their heart? This is a man that there's great things here. There's hope here. And what happened? What did he do? He touched him.
Whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the street and besought him that they might touch if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole.
Tonight, the same one is here.
Yes.
Our decision is to reach out and touch. And whatever's going on in your life, folks, it's not just a one-time touch.
That's right.
There is that wonderful first-time touch. Sometimes we reach out one more time.
That's right.
I want to encourage us tonight. He's still alive. He's still real. And the decision is ours. The love is His. And He looks at us with great kindness tonight. He says, "I'm walking by." Lord, help us to touch His hem tonight.